Welcome to Tony's Take Podcast.
Welcome to the Tony's Take Podcast, episode 371 of sports. I'm Tony, and with me, we've got Off-Road Andy.
Hello.
For the third week in a row, I believe now, we are Sean-less for this episode of sports. But, you know, we've got a great entertainment episode after this to please listen to that actually will also not have Sean on it. But he's under the weather, which I feel like a lot of people are. Seasons are changing, but we have a packed sports show for you guys.
Yeah, he has no voice, which is kind of important for this.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we've still got a packed show for you guys this week. We've got we have champions now in college basketball. The MLB season has begun. We've got the Masters this week, which is the Super Bowl of golf, pretty much. Champions League, the round of the final eight has begun. We've got some NBA and NHL standings updates as well. So a good packed show for you guys this evening. Or this morning, or this afternoon, whenever you may be listening. But we'll start it off with NBA, as always, I suppose. So we're going to give you guys here our over-under review, because the season's down to like less than five games now.
Yeah, some teams have three. There's only three teams remaining that have not hit their over or under on the season. That's the Bulls, the Heat, and the Lakers. So we're almost done.
Ooh, it's
and the record here, Tony's 19-8. Sean 18-9.
Wow, good for you, Sean. For someone that's never on the sports episode these days,
I'm 13-14, which is like respectable.
So what do we? There's three left.
So the Bulls need one more win,
and we all have the over on that.
Yes, and I believe the Heat need to win three games. It's gonna be tough for them to do.
Okay, and we all have the over on that.
The Lakers need to win two or maybe three.
Here's the crazy thing. So like, it's looking the best Sean can do is tie me, because we both have the same on two of the last three. But I have the Lakers over, and Sean has the under for the Lakers.
Lakers need to win three out of four.
Okay, so. And that begins tonight against Golden State.
So the way they've been going, they should do that. But
you know, I don't know who's their. Can we see the remaining schedule? I know they play Golden State at home tonight.
We've got at Grizzlies should be easy. At Pelicans, who knows what the situation.
So they've
got
to win two out of three. They only have three left. So how's this? Have I lost then?
No, they need to win all three then.
Okay.
They needed to win three out of four.
And they lost to Minnesota a couple nights ago, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to do this on the fly.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, okay. In the Heat have won 43 games, so they need to win three more to hit 46.
Okay.
They have a game against them. They have four games left, so Hawks, Mavericks, two against the Raptors. So they
should win. Are the Bulls currently, and the Heat are currently up by 1 point, but that is very early on in the game.
And the Bulls, who are they playing?
Oh, easy. No, that's tough.
Knicks, at Pistons, at Wizards, at Knicks. So they just need to win one of those. So it's two of the worst teams in the NBA.
Yeah, I didn't know they needed to win one. So we're going to win that Bulls bet.
Yeah.
But
and what's interesting is we have a good record on the game, the teams we all agreed on.
So yeah, well, especially Sean and I. I mean, I imagine Sean and I have agreed
two,
a lot.
Three. Four, five, six, seven, seven, and I think two. Seven and three.
And all the games we agreed on. And there's, I believe, two more, though, that we still have all agreed on. And it looks like one of them's going to hit. One of them's going to be close. So, worst case, 8-4, possibly 9-3. So, we will keep you guys updated on that.
Mm-hmm.
And now we got
a... But if you want to just take a quick... Standings, pretty much the same.
Yeah, the East has stayed the same.
Philly is still can get out of there, but it's going to be tough.
Well, I mean, Embiid is back.
Five in a row with Embiid being back, but they're still a game behind the Pacers, and they've lost one more game. So if the Pacers win,
and they've
out,
got they three, and the Pacers have, and they both have three to play. So should we take a look at their respective schedules just to see, like, if it's Sixers and Pacers, what their remaining schedules are?
Yeah. I mean, it's so hard at the end of the season because...
Oh, so the Raptors... So the Pacers are currently down by four to the Raptors right now in the first half. Then they go at Cleveland, home against the Hawks. So, you know, that's not going to be too easy. And then Philadelphia has got the Pistons, Magic, and Nets all at home. Mm-hmm. That seems to me like that's going to be a 3-0 finish. Don't be surprised if Sixers steal that sixth spot. And they go... They'll be going up against the... If they got the sixth seed, who would they go against in the first round there? Was it the Knicks?
Well, they keep switching around the East, too. Oh, Orlando's up to three, but they're tied with the Knicks.
Oh, shit, that's really close.
Cleveland's only a half behind.
That's actually all really close between five and two.
And also, Milwaukee's been so bad that they're full. Sorry.
Milwaukee's lost four in a row, three out of their last ten, or three and seven in their last ten.
That beer was very carbonated. Got to me at the wrong moment. Yeah, in the West, the only thing I think to mention, it looks like Clippers-Mavericks is almost locked in. The Clippers just need to win, I think, they need to win two games, and they'll clinch the four seed and home court advantage over Dallas, because it just doesn't look like Dallas is going to lose. They just keep winning. But then, yeah, the big thing is what's going to happen between Phoenix, New Orleans, the Kings, and the Lakers are separated by a game and a half. So that could all switch around.
Yeah, Lakers. Yeah, they're right there too. Lakers play a big game against Golden State tonight. And the teams that are going to make it to the West have been finalized. A couple weeks ago, Houston made a fun run, and they've now lost five in a row. And I think even their coach came out and said that he thought the moment was too big for his guys. And that is obviously a coach that went to the finals with Boston Celtics. So just a couple years ago. So he's got some high expectations. Utah Jazz. They just really didn't give a shit to end the season. They've lost 12 in a row. So that was the Jazz did this year kind of what they did last year. Kind of fun the first like 50 games, like 40 games, and then sucked.
Yeah, so they went under 35 and a half.
So will we have playoffs by this time next week?
The play-ins will be set. No. Next Tuesday will be the last games, I believe.
4-14.
Yeah.
No. So the Lakers, it'll be okay, never Sunday. Mind. So yeah, we will.
Okay, then they do start Tuesday. Because they have to do two rounds of it. Yeah.
Okay. And then the playoffs will begin next
Saturday,
weekend.
Saturday,
yeah.
Sunday.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. So that'll be an exciting finish. And all right. Well, that's we'll have playoff matchups by the time you guys hear us next with the play-in games going on. But next up here, we've got some MLB news. We've had some injuries early on. So Andy's going to let us know about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's pitcher injuries, although there was another position player injury that Trevor Story's going to be off the season, so kind of a disastrous contract that the Red Sox handed out to him. He's been injured the whole time. But yeah, the big news is the pitcher injuries, which we've been seeing more and more of, just guys continuing having elbow problems. And how is that linked to, like, just people are just throwing harder now. Velocity's up, keeps going up every year. But yeah, two really big names. Possibly after the season. Shane Bieber of the Guardians, definitely after the season. He's having Tommy John surgery.
Oh, he was off to a good start, too.
And, well, the Guardians are 8-2 right now, which I think all went under on the Guardians.
Long season, then without Shane Bieber, that could be tough.
It's like they seem to, you know, make magic out of nothing, but that's a big blow. And then probably more important is Spencer Strider, which they have not said if he's going to be out for the season. But it probably is looking that way, which I believe he was your Cy Young pick at the beginning
was
of the
year. Was he? I think so. You know, he definitely was. I didn't. God, he's out for the season too.
Well, they haven't announced it yet, and they said there's going to be more tests. And maybe it's one of those things. But like, it's one of those things. If you don't get the surgery now, you'll end up having it later. But for the Braves, it's like, do you think they're the best team? And that's their number one guy.
Disheartening.
It's really rough, but that's what it is now. For you, just expect at some point one of your top arms are just going to be out. So, it's sad. And then I know Marlins also lost a. One of their young pitchers also out for the season. He didn't even make a start this year. I think he had some elbow problems in spring training, and then it's like, nope, he'll be out. It's like, it's rough. And we'll get more of that, I'm sure, as the season goes on. There'll be more of these. But you want to take a quick look at some of the early good teams, early bad teams?
Yeah, let's do that. So we got the New York Yankees. Our 9
which I believe was your
World Series
pick.
Well, maybe, if they keep this up. But yeah, the Yankees were my World Series pick, and they are 9-2 leading the East with the Boston Red Sox at 7-3. And then you've got the Orioles 5-4, Blue Jays and Rays both 5-6. And then, like Andy and I just mentioned, you got the Cleveland Guardians 8-2. And then the Royals and Tigers both 6-4. The Minnesota Twins 3-5. I know I did say Tigers to win this division. They're sitting right there. And then the Chicago White Sox, I think it's going to be an absolute pitiful year from them. They are 1-9. And I saw that they were up 5-0 in the first inning today, and it was already tied in like the fifth inning. So they are just, there's no pitching there. There's no, I feel like they hate their management too. It's going to be an ugly season in Chi-Town for the White Sox. Then we move on to the West. Rangers and Angels tied in first at 6-4. Our Anaheim Angels there, right up there at the top. And then you got the Houston Astros and Mariners 4-7, supposed to be two of the better teams in this division. And then the Oakland A's doing what we expected, 3-7. And we'll actually talk a little bit more about the Oakland A's here in a moment. Or should we just do it now while we're talking about
it? Yeah, why not? They will only be the Oakland A's for this season, and then it'll be over. I think most of you probably know they're moving to Vegas But that is not happening
like next 2027
year.
Or something?
2027 is the earliest they can move that'll be done. It might could take longer to get that stadium built, which I believe they just now closed that casino.
Was it Tropicana? Or?
Yeah. So that's where they're going to put the new stadium there.
Yeah, and I actually know that because...
As of right now, that casino is standing. The building is standing.
We stayed in Tropicana in November, and then a friend of ours is... a news reporter out in Vegas, and they've been doing all sorts of stuff about the Tropicana recently. So it looks like the demise is coming, or the demolition, I guess, probably sometime in the near future. But well, kind of funny to think Oakland's going to be playing in Sacramento. But
yeah, that's the news. It's the Oakland or the A's, you can't call them Oakland anymore. Yeah. The A's franchise cannot agree with the city of Oakland on a lease for the final 3 years because I think the city of Oakland's a little pissed at them. And the city of Oakland owns the Oakland Coliseum, so the A's are just tenants there. And so the A's like, we'll find a different stadium. And they went to Sacramento, which I believe the Kings owner was instrumental in getting that done. Sacramento has a AAA stadium. It seats 10,000 people, has no outfield seats.
Okay.
But Sacramento is a town on the rise. It's right along the river, they said. You can see across the river to the Capitol. And all this kind of stuff. So they're trying to build up that area. The Kings owner's big on that. But yeah, it's a joke. They're going to play in a AAA stadium for multiple years.
It's almost like the Phoenix, the Arizona Coyotes right now. They've been playing at ASU's arena for two seasons now.
Yeah.
But I believe they'll have their stadium next season. But all right, moving on to the National League. The Atlanta Braves in first place as expected, 6-3. The Phillies 5-5. Then you've got the Mets and Nationals 4-6. And the Miami Marlins off to a disastrous start. But I believe I think I took their under, but I don't know about you, but they are 1-10.
Yeah, 0-7 at home, which is, you know, that's always been one of the worst home crowds.
Oh, yeah.
So not.
They just haven't been, yeah. They haven't brought out a fun team in quite some time, maybe since they won the World Series. And
well, I was going to say, I mean,
actually, yeah, sadly, I think Jose Fernandez was fun to watch. He was honestly like one of my favorite players. That wasn't on, you know, a favorite team, but here we go in the Central.
They made the playoffs last year. I think everyone's going to forget about that.
Trash.
Because they did make the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, here we go in the Central here that I feel like they started off hot early last year too. Maybe I'm wrong, but the Pittsburgh Pirates 9-2. Off to a fun start.
I think you're right. I think the first 2 months of the season, they were actually above 500. And then
you got the Milwaukee Brewers 6-3, the Reds 6-4, the Cubs 6-4, and the Cardinals in the cellar again at 5-6. But this division's looking good so far.
Yeah, that's respectable.
That's very respectable. And then we go on to the West, where the LA Dodgers are 9-4, and then everybody else under 500. Padres 6-7, the Diamondbacks 4-7, which I think we both predicted. I don't think Diamondbacks are going to be what they were last year, even close.
Plus 14 run differential, so they've hit.
Okay, they just
Interesting.
Fun. That's actually interesting to be 4-7 with the plus 14.
Yeah, they lost five in a row.
Because then you look at the San Francisco Giants, who are 4-7 with a minus 19, and then the Rockies doing what we believe the Rockies will be doing this year, 3-8. I think they will be one of, if not the worst team in the National League. I think the Marlins are better than them. So I think as the season progresses, you will see the Rockies really take that crown as the worst team in the National League, maybe even in the entire MLB. Although I think the Oakland A's have a strong case for that. But we wanted to give some updates. We joked about it a little bit last week, but we're here for it. It's been a big thing for anybody that knows that's a local fan of our local team, the Anaheim Angels, or LA Angels of Anaheim, whatever you want to call them. Depends who you're talking to, I think, around here. But Anthony Rendon started the season off like 0-21 or 0-2 or whatever it was. And so we joked about that and we were like, you know what, we're just going to have a fun little segment on here for, you know, the next few weeks until it's not really fun anymore, which will probably be by next week, to talk about his batting average. So Anthony Rendon now has a 162 average, but here's the crazy thing. 4 games in a row, he's gotten a hit. And you know what's funny? I've got the receipts to prove it, which is, the, you know, it's text threads. I made jokes saying back when he had 2-game hit streak, I was like, uh-oh, Rendon's only 54 games away from Joe DiMaggio's 56-game record. I saw a meme today on a well-followed baseball account on Instagram that showed Anthony Rendon and said he's on a 4-game hit streak. He's only 52 away from DiMaggio. And I was like, these fucking people took my joke. And they ran with it. And then we have another story here about an Angel player, Nolan Schanel. How do you say his name? Schanel?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've heard it said, but I don't know.
Yeah, and so Andy's going to actually tell us about this one because he had a streak where ever since he came up last year, he'd gotten on base in every game safely? Or how do you, like...
Yeah, I think you know, walk. I mean, safely, because air doesn't count. Walk,
yeah, so that pitch. And that's where we're going to talk about here. But Andy, let us know what happened here, which was the controversy, because I actually haven't even seen the play or anything.
So about a week after the play in question, so on the March 30th game against the Baltimore Orioles, he had
second game of the season.
He had an infield hit to extend the streak, and then he kept getting on base the next few games as well, and I think it was up to like maybe 35 or something. That a committee came and reviewed the play and retroactively graded it in error, breaking his streak, because then he ended up being 0 for 4 with no
and balls. So that means if he can get on with a hit by pitch, a base hit, a fielder's choice, a walk.
I don't know about fielder's choice. Okay. I actually don't. But I think walk, hit, or hit batter count. But an error doesn't. And what's crazy is they were
– he's also batting only 74 this year. So it's like kind of crazy that he even was like
– yeah. And he
– and he also didn't do – he didn't get on base last night, it looks like.
Yeah, he didn't get on base last night or I think previous.
No, it said he had two walks the previous game.
So yeah, he got hit by a pitch on
and a walk.
April 3rd, okay.
Oh, hit by a pitch on April 3rd, yeah, I see.
Yeah. There's a the committee is actually made up of former players, and I recognize a couple of names, Gregor Blanco and Rajay Davis. So it is interesting. You'd think like players would want to, especially offensive players, would want to give a hit to a player, but they actually decided against it. And I think it was not like obvious. It was pretty questionable. It was a ball hit to the first baseman who had to make a play on it, and the pitcher had to try to get to the base. And the throw was a little behind the pitcher, and he couldn't get to the thing. So it's questionable that I don't think it's a clear, obvious like error. It wasn't a bobble or anything like that. It was just a throw was a little behind. It didn't go past the pitcher. It was just a little bit behind. Slowed him down a bit trying to get to first before him. But yeah, it did break his streak, which was a nice story. And when that happened, the Angels' new play-by-play guy, I wish I remembered his name, but
I didn't recognize that voice either.
I believe he came over from the Mets. But he tore into Major League Baseball, and he went over all of his grievances. It wasn't just this, but he was making a big deal about how, you know, baseball is, there's a fun story here for a team that's been struggling, and they stole it from him. And then he went into basically everything about pitch clocks and pitchers and even Shohei Ohtani.
So it looks like it's Wayne Randazzo.
Okay, yeah.
Wayne Randazzo, and then I believe, what's his face, is still there, right?
Gubazag. Yeah.
Gubazag.
But yeah, he even mentioned, you got a player gambling and you don't even have any answers on it. And I'm like, wait, let's hold up on this one. I don't know. But it was pretty crazy to just,
you know, I like that though, that like, here comes this guy who's, it's his first year as the Angels and play-by-play announcer on TV. And he's got passion for the Angels. He's defending him. He's like, I know Ohtani left this team. You know what? Fuck Ohtani, he says. And he's like, this guy's gambling. He's gambling right now. He's probably playing cards in the dugout in the clubhouse in between innings. But, I love the passion. And you know what, though? What do you expect from a guy coming from a New York team?
Yeah, I think he did some New York sports radio, which is like, you have to, like,
you're used to it.
Yeah, you need to.
You come out here in Orange County and you're, like, confused why more people aren't, like, acting like that, probably.
Yeah.
But, it's a bummer for him. But, again, not off to a good start of the season. Wouldn't be surprised if the Angels actually throw him down into AAA for a little bit to get his confidence back. They really should.
He only had, a month.
They brought him up really early, too. He got drafted, was in the MLB the next day, basically. Literally got drafted and played in the same season. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll keep you guys. Actually, no, we won't. But I mean,
what has happened with the Angels? They have had a little success.
Yeah, I mean, they're 6-4.
I think Mike Trout's still great.
Five home runs.
Good, and that's when they were struggling.
Ohapi's good. We liked him. Me and my friends liked him last year. But yeah, Logan Ohap leading the team with a .355 average. Mike Trout, five home runs. That's up there in league leaders. We'll actually
all
look
solos.
At
all solos are very important.
Well, that is insane, actually. He's got five home runs and six RBIs. That's, you know what? I feel like that was a thing with him a couple years ago, a few years back too.
It's been for the last 8 years I saw he had, it's like 65% of his home runs have been solo home runs.
And you know what's crazy is then you look at guys like Manny Ramirez who had 45 home run years with 175 RBIs. That Indians team though was nice to watch. But Taylor Ward batting, I believe batting cleanup this year, 11 RBIs. So he's doing something, leads the team in hits with 13, but yeah. But let's
still not high on the team, but you know.
No, definitely not. I mean, they're 6-4. They're not gonna be anything too special, I don't believe. But let's go really quickly over I just wanted to say really quickly, do we want to look at some MLB league leaders early on? Like some home run average stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're already pot committed. Yeah. I mean,
that big.
So for average right now, you've got Anthony Volpe, young player, and Orlando Arcia batting 417. Ryan McMahon from Colorado batting 415. And then Will Smith batting 400. Home run leaders, Tyler O'Neill, who hit his sixth home run today on the first year with Boston. Big power guy. Strong guy. He's had a 34 home run year in 2021, which I feel like went under the radar. Because, 34 home runs, 80 RBI. So the guy's got some pop, and he's in Boston and definitely in a place where you can hit some home runs. He's also got 6 home runs and 6 RBIs. I don't know if you just saw that. Batting 344, though. Trout, Ozuna, Betts all have 5 home runs as well. Runs batted in. Andy's, the guy we talked about, Teoscar Hernandez, 14. And then Spencer Steer. Who the flying F is this guy?
Let's see. From Long Beach, California.
Hell yeah. Go Spencer. 14 RBIs as well.
Had a solid season last year.
Okay, 23 home runs, 86 RBI. So this guy's solid. Then you've got Ozuna and Lourdes Gurriel Jr. with 12 RBIs and Jake Berger, 12 RBIs from the 1-10 Miami Marlins. So somebody's bringing home people.
Now this is a little unfair for the hits leaders because
all Dodgers, the top
Dodgers
three,
have but they played two more games.
Yeah, so the good one I guess to look at there is Stephen Kwan with 18 hits, which is tied with Will Smith and Betts and only one behind Ohtani. But again, like you mentioned, they've played about 2 or 3 more games. I believe 3 more games than the Cleveland Indians. So good for Kwan. And early strikeout leaders, Gary Crockett, not Davey's brother, yeah. Garrett Crockett. Gary might be maybe his brother or dad or something. But Garrett Crockett with kind of the fun little bright spot here for the Chicago White Sox with 21 strikeouts to start the year. And struck out 8 against Atlanta, so that's impressive. And then 8 against the Tigers. And then Yu Darvish with 20. He's always up there. Corbin Burns. And then rest in peace, Shane Bieber. 20 strikeouts through, was it 2 starts?
Yeah. I mean, definitely wasn't 1 start. I would have heard about that.
Yeah. A 9K game, an 11K game. Didn't give up an earned run.
I hate this. I'm like, what? Birthplace? Every time I see it. But he's not really from Orange, California. Mm-mm. He just happened to be born there. You know,
what's funny is somebody that I know actually was his... when he went to Santa Barbara, was like his substitute teacher or something. I forget who it was that knew him, but I actually know a couple of people that did kind of know who Shane Bieber is. But Orange. So where was he born then? It says Laguna Hills High School.
So you went to Laguna Hills. Okay.
Yeah, that's not. I mean, yeah. So what was he born in Chalk then or something?
Yeah.
I guess so. So was I.
Yeah.
But I think I'm a little bit older than him. Yeah, by 5 years, 4.5, 5 years. But hey, that's cool. Cheer for a guy from Orange. Bummer to. Kind of wish he was on a better team. Guardians just, I don't know if it's the name, it's the team. They just don't excite me. But we'll move on here now to the NHL because this is really, really, really stirring up. I actually want to start in the West because the West isn't as intense as the East. So I kind of want to save my moment here for the East. But we look at the West. The number one team in the West, which is a team that I have said before that I like them to win it all. Dallas Stars, 107 points. Then you've got the Vancouver Grizzlies with 104 points. Colorado Avalanche, 102. What happened? I said the Vancouver Grizzlies, didn't I? I got Andy in an awful time, too, right in the middle of a sip.
That doesn't sound right.
Forgive us. Man. The Vancouver Canucks.
Ghost of Mike Bibby is going to get you.
Who have been having a great year. 104 points. Colorado Avalanche, 102 points. Winnipeg Jets, 100 points. Edmonton Oilers, 99. And your LA Kings at 93. But those are the leaders of the division. So that's why the Kings have the 6th seed because the Nashville Predators have 94 points. And then the Vegas Golden Knights, last year's NHL champions, 92 points. And staying alive just barely, the St. Louis Blues with 87 points with 3 games to go. So they can win out for 93 points. And then you've got the Minnesota Wild, who I guess are not mathematically eliminated yet because they have 4 games to go with 83 points. So they can, I guess they can, what can they do? Why does it say they're not eliminated? Oh, they have, but they know they play 81 in hockey.
I think they played 82.
81.
What?
Because that said there's 4 games left.
Oh.
And they're at 77.
Okay.
But I'm confused. So they can get 8 points. That would be 91, but that's not enough. So I don't understand why they don't have the E next to them yet. The Minnesota Wild are eliminated, I think. I don't, unless I'm reading something wrong here, but I don't understand. So we're going to say they're eliminated. Minnesota Wild will not be in the playoffs.
They have 5 games left.
They do have 5 games left. Okay.
There you go. They could still
I guess they do play 82 then. Okay, so whatever. They're not going to make the playoffs. But yeah, that'll be a, the West is going to be a great, great playoff matchup because Dallas has had a great season. Colorado's dangerous. Winnipeg went on a fun run for a while. Edmonton's got the fun goal scorers. Vancouver's had a hell of a season. Nashville got hot. Golden Knights are your last year's champion. And then, you know, the LA Kings are respectable. And so I think this will be a good Western Finals or Western playoffs. But we go to the East here. This is where things get really exciting. The New York Rangers, the current number one seed with 110 points. Your Boston Bruins, 107 points. Carolina Hurricanes, 105. Florida Panthers, 102. Toronto Maple Leafs, 99. And then the New York Islanders, just lucky to be in the Metropolitan right now because they have 85 points, which is currently having them at the sixth seed. And then this is where it gets fun. You got the Tampa Bay Lightning, who have already clinched. They're a 93-point wild number one wild card team. That's where they're going to stay. And then this is where it gets fun. Detroit Red Wings, 84 points, currently holding on to that second wild card. And you've got the Pittsburgh Penguins with 84, the Washington Capitals with 83, the Philadelphia Flyers with 83, the New Jersey Devils with 79, and the Buffalo Sabres with 79. So that'll be exciting. Alive. And I guess they do all play 82 games now because I think it used to be 81, but I feel like maybe when they added Vegas Golden Knights, it became 82, if that makes sense, because they added another team.
Yeah.
So I think that's where my confusion was. So yeah, there's a...
So the Islanders, Penguins, Capitals, Flyers, and Devils are all in that same division too. So there'll be two spots eligible for...
Oh, very good. Good point.
Yeah, you know, at least one of them is going to get that second wild card there. But so the Islanders right now being in the third place could actually drop all the way out of the playoffs. So.
Yeah, that's... It's going to be exciting. Are any of these teams playing at the moment? Can we take a little check? So we've got the Flyers down 2-0 against Montreal, which you got to be winning those. Detroit and Washington 0-0.
Devils are up.
Devils are up 2-1, so that's big. Islanders up 3-0 on the number one seed. That's really big. You got Buffalo and Dallas. Oh, yeah, Buffalo, it does matter for them. They're 1-1 in the first period. So, yeah, good for them. That's going to be an exciting... Exciting finish in the NHL, and I think they'll have some good playoffs there too. But move on here now to the college basketball.
Before we talk about the tournaments, I want to cover the coaching changes that happened because it's featuring teams that didn't make the tournament or didn't do well in the tournament. But it all starts with kind of one move here, and that is Andy Enfield leaving USC for, I believe, SMU, which seemed like a weird move. I think it was one of those things where USC maybe had grown tired of him. He'd been there for a decade, and they hadn't had a ton of success. They made the tournament before, but no Final Four run. He came over from Florida Gulf Coast. Remember that really exciting year where Florida Gulf Coast won a couple games? But, yeah, I think he's kind of – maybe wore his welcome, but was still considered a good coach, good Division I coach. So he moved over to SMU, which left an opening there at USC. And then Eric Musselman took the job at USC, leaving Arkansas, which I remember he had had good success with Arkansas for the last few years. They didn't have a good season. They missed the tournament altogether this year, but he's an exciting coach, former NBA guy, but had some success at multiple places in college now. So he's going to USC. That's exciting for them, but it did mean that, like, USC, all the people can transfer, including Bronny James, who declared for the draft and entered the portal, which is
doing it all. Who's wants me? And do you think somebody's going to take him in the draft?
I don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah, it's kind of upsetting.
Wait till the NBA draft. It's weird. But yeah, that meant Arkansas had an opening. And while they're not like a premier program, they've had success. They had that great run in the 90s where they were one of the top teams. But they're still a SEC Division I team and everything. Big surprise on Sunday night announced. There were some rumors going around. Then it was confirmed pretty quickly. Coach Cal, John Calipari, leaving Kentucky for Arkansas. So when Kentucky got upset again in the first round, there were a lot of buzz about Kentucky should fire him. They did not decide to fire him, but it kind of sounds like they maybe wanted to. But they let him go find new employment elsewhere. And yeah, Calipari left. He's going to Arkansas. He'll probably have a successor. He's always had success. Like, that's the thing about Kentucky fans being a little spoiled is that he gave him good teams almost every year and a lot of NBA prospects that you can root for, which is fun. So I think he'll do more of the same there for Arkansas, maybe a little less success, but a fan base that isn't going to be as crazy. But that means that the Kentucky job is wide open, which is always a big deal. And I don't know who that candidate's going to be.
So I saw something that said, I think the Baylor coach was a candidate. And then also Billy Donovan, they said, from the taking him from the Bulls, I guess. And then there was rumors, too, that someone was talking about why am I blanking on his name? The old Butler coach, the Celtics.
Brad Stevens.
He's still with the Celtics. They said he's an executive, though, and they're like, he's basically like Pat Riley. They're like, there's no way he's given up sitting in the executive suite doing what he's doing to go back to coach that, they said. Unless they gave him, obviously, like an offer he couldn't refuse. But I don't – because a lot of people think he's actually one of, like, the smartest coaches out there. I think that's why they kind of have him in the upper part of –
Yeah, and obviously he's done a good job. That team has
Still with the Celtics, right?
Yeah, and he's the main guy in charge there, and personnel and everything. So
he basically is like a Pat Riley. Yeah. That's what he's become. So good for him.
Yeah, winningest team of the last decade, I saw.
Ooh.
So they now surpassed the Warriors.
Even more than Oklahoma women's softball?
Well, I mean, you know, in the NBA. But.
Yeah. Now, that's good stuff. But let's get in. Speaking of NBA,
What? We got to cover the tournament.
That's what I was going to kind of get into, because I was going to say some of these teams are going to go, but then I was like, I think we'll start with women's though first. No, so the women's tournament, do you even want to talk about the Final Four? Just go straight to the finals. I mean, I don't think we don't need
to. Well, I think there was the Friday, I think Friday night.
That was a good game.
Big controversy that ended up kind of not being controversial after we saw some replays, but an ending that you never want to see, but UConn had the ball and a chance to take the lead. And their offensive possession ended up in a turnover on an offensive foul on an illegal screen, which is like, you don't want to see that in a game winning opportunity. But, and especially the replay looked like, no, that was nothing.
Yeah.
But then when you saw like a bigger replay, you're like, oh, she really made up a lot of ground and like really stretched her leg out there. And like, that was an offensive foul. And I don't know what you're supposed to do in that situation, because it did give the player an advantage, but it did suck that we didn't get it to see a game winner opportunity, but it was a good solid game. But it also just seemed like, for some conspiratorial people, that it gave ESPN what they wanted, another Caitlin Clark game on Sunday.
And you know what? Like, South Carolina in that game against, you know, South Carolina ended up beating them, and they beat them pretty good. Iowa got off to a hot start, was up early, pretty big in the first quarter, and then it was tied at half, and then South Carolina just proved to be too strong. Caitlin Clark had 30, but she had 18 in the first, so they did, you know, hold her to 12 points over the next three quarters. So an average of, you know, 4 points a quarter. But South Carolina just had too much size, too much depth, and I think we kind of, you know, figured it would be something like that. But
yeah, and if you remember last week, I said, like, no, I think they only lost one game. No, they didn't lose any.
Yeah, that was impressive. But you know what, though, I will say, there was a lot of backlash on Caitlin Clark. There was people like Diana Taurasi and other people that were coming out saying, you know, their negative stuff about her. But I think Diana Taurasi, I slightly agreed with her a little bit, because she did say, like, hey, just now she's going to go to the pros and it's going to be a rude awakening. And I think, but that was also after she beat UConn. So I think there was a little bit, you know, a little bit of like animosity towards it, you know, Diana Taurasi. And, you know, I think it's fair to say, I think some of them maybe get a little jealous. They see the new upcoming stars and they get jealous. Like, I know whoever held the college scoring record from years ago, some woman was at a press conference thing and came out and said, well, back when I had the record, there was no 3-point line and blah, blah, blah. So really, I don't think my record's been broken. And I mean, granted, I think a handful of women have broken her record since because of a 3-point line. I imagine I feel like Taurasi held the record at one point before Kelsey Plum, whatever her name is, Plum, took it over, and then now Caitlin Clark. But nor here nor there, but Caitlin Clark is expected to go number one overall to the Indiana Fever, which that draft is actually on the 15th, I think I heard, or something. So it's coming up. But the one thing I will give kudos to is Dawn Staley, which is the South Carolina coach. She had a very, very good words to say about Caitlin Clark after the game. She said she thanked Caitlin Clark and said that she thought Caitlin Clark single-handedly brought awareness to the women's tournament. I'll be honest, I'm guilty of watching the Elite Eight game that was on last Monday with Iowa versus LSU. I'm guilty of watching the Friday night game, which was Iowa-UConn, and I'm guilty of watching the championship. So all three games, common denominator, Caitlin Clark. So I will say that I did enjoy watching some of it, you know, but I've also been known to dabble with watching some WNBA in my time, you know, so...
Yeah, that's what I'm really interested to see if that translates. I know it will at the start, but like, how long is the WNBA season? Like, 40 games.
So yeah, I was just going to say, starts in,
you know, a lot more than college. Soon. And it's like, will people be watching, you know, game in the middle of July or something?
I don't know. I think it also depends how she does, because I almost worry, what if Caitlin Clark's kind of like a Jimmer Fredette, where it's like, she's fun because she hits these big, deep threes, but then it's like, you go against girls that are very athletic, tall, play good defense, it might be a trouble. And she's, I'll tell you right now, she's got a target on her.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the
Indiana's not good.
It would be Jeremy Lin.
So,
when LeBron targeted Jeremy Lin and just ended his life.
And that's what I want to say quickly, too, because you look at some of the past girls that have gone to teams, number one, that were really good. Maya Moore, when she was on UConn, she went number one to Minnesota. Immediately made Minnesota a dominant team. You had Brianna Stewart went number one to Seattle Storm. Immediately made them a good team. Now, Caitlin Clark going to Indiana Fever, I don't think she's going to immediately make them a very good team. I mean, there's still, I think, a handful of teams much, much better than Indiana, even with Caitlin Clark. So I think that's where you're going to see a difference. And again, also, like Diana Taurasi, I don't know if she played her whole, I feel like she played her whole career at the Phoenix Mercury, but, and again, made them very good right away. So, yeah, I don't know. That's just, be curious to see. But, yeah, we, that was for the women's tournament, but, we got the men's now. So you had, the first game, Purdue versus, NC State. And it's what I said. I think I said it last week on the podcast that I thought Purdue was going to tear them apart, and they beat them pretty good. Won by 13, I think. So that was an easy win for Purdue. And then the next game was UConn versus Alabama. And it was close at first half and stuff like that. And then UConn just did what they do, and they pulled away, ended up winning that game, covered the spread, I think, which I think they were favored by like 11.
Up, I think it went up by like 20 at the end. It
was they kicked some ass. And then it was the championship, the game we wanted to see, the two bigs against each other. Andy and I actually watched this game together on Monday evening. And yeah, it was a fun game early on, and then UConn kind of went on a little bit of a run to end the half, got up by 6 at the half, and then the second half was just nothing fun to watch if you're cheering for Purdue. UConn came out, completely dominated, and won this game, and dominated, just absolutely dominated the tournament.
Yeah, I think
back-to-back champions.
ED finished with 37 of their, like, 60.
Yeah.
And they said that was their strategy, was let him score, just don't let the other people beat you. And Purdue couldn't hit any threes. So, yeah, obviously the rest of the team just did basically nothing, which, I don't know. It's upsetting that UConn just looks this good, especially like last year. They lost three of their best players from last year, and they just come back, and this was a better run, I think. I would say it's a better run.
Oh, yeah, this was a much better team than last year's UConn team.
It's like, what? It doesn't matter.
And now, do you know how many? Do you have an idea or anything about how many are coming back?
I don't. I know that freshman is going to leave, and I'm pretty sure that Klingon is going to leave.
Who's the freshman? Is that
Castle?
Okay. Who was the other guy?
Tristan.
That's what I'm thinking
Newton,
of.
I think.
Newton. Yeah.
I think he's an upperclassman, and maybe he'll be gone as well. And then their point guard too is a senior transfer, so they might lose everyone. Let's see. Tristan Newton is a senior, so played 5 years, came from Eastern Carolina, so yeah, he'll be gone as well.
Interesting.
So it's gonna be a full turnover, but who knows? I mean, that's
yeah.
Somebody they were able to come all the way back last year as well, so I think they are co-favorites again for next year. I believe I saw Duke is a. I don't know. There was a story on it.
Yeah, no, I saw that somebody said something about, like, are they going to three-peat? And it's like, that's, I mean, fuck, that'd be impressive if they did.
Especially if it's a substantially different team.
But, I mean, now it feels like people are going to, are wanting to go there.
Yeah, I mean, people like Duke because of Cooper Flagg, who is the number one prospect, and he's supposed to be, like, the best prospect.
Where does he go to high school, or what state?
It's, like, Vermont or something. He's a white guy, too. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Cooper Flagg. So. Well, that'll be interesting to see when that time comes around. But that is quite a ways away, as the basketball season doesn't usually kick off until about November. So we've got quite some time until we see Cooper Flagg and Gonzaga is supposed to be up there next year. Actually, I like that for Gonzaga. Cooper Flagg. Wow. A weird looking white dude.
From Maine.
Same thing, pretty much.
Wow.
Good Damn. Stuff. All right. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll obviously when the time comes, which isn't going to be for a while. But it was a fun college season. I personally thought the tournament wasn't as exciting as past tournaments. Maybe that's because I wanted Purdue to win since I had them in a bracket. But just, you know, felt like it was just a year where it wasn't too much excitement. I mean, a lot of the early round had some fun upsets with Oakland and a couple other teams, but yeah, ultimately just nothing too crazy. But all right, we're going to move on here now to we got a couple more sports to talk about. We're going to go on really quickly here to golf. We've got the Masters this weekend, which is always fun. Starts on Thursday, so we're just going to give you guys a couple of the big favorites here and whatnot. So you've got Scottie Scheffler at 4-1 odds, Rory McIlroy 10-1 odds, John Rahm 12-1 odds, Xander Schauffel 16-1, Koepka 18-1, Jordan Spieth 22-1, Hideki Matsuyama 22-1, Joachim Niemann 25-1, and Ludvig Åberg 28-1. I believe Tiger's like 50-1.
Yeah, so those last two names, I was surprised to see them because they're people I am not familiar with, and they're both young. I think they're both 25 years old. So I think maybe their odds are better than maybe their ranking in the sense that people want to see a young person break out if they're like the two best, like 25 and under guys. But both not from American. Not from America.
American.
This Åberg is a Swedish guy, and I can't remember where this Joachim Niemann was from, but a couple names to look out for when you watch this weekend. But yeah, Tiger is the other big story this weekend is going to be Tiger Woods. He has made the cuts like 20 something consecutive times and wants to continue that streak. It seems like that's his main goal for this season for him is make the cut at the Masters and compete. He's not going to be definitely not a favorite here, but like you said, probably 50-1. That's usually what some of the kind of mid-range people are at.
Yeah, they don't go too much more than that.
And, I think, that's what I'm sure the TV producers would like to see him still playing there early Sunday. Or, I mean, later on Sunday, not early, but still there on Sunday and playing in the afternoon. But that might be too much of a dream, but I think we'd all like to see it. But, yeah, I know he's dropped at us in tournaments before this. Be like, I'm just trying to get ready for the Masters. That's what I care about. And it is a weird thing with golf where kind of the biggest tournament is early in the season rather than the last game. But it is the big one. And it's always fun.
It is. And they get to have the
same course.
And you notice too, they get to have the live guys get to play in it and stuff. So, I mean, this is like the Super Bowl.
Another story there. And
that bugs some of the guys that have stayed here.
Yeah. I don't know what is ever going to happen with that because they were supposed to merge and then the Liv still plays the 54 holes instead and just a different thing. And I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we got one last sport to talk about here for you guys. We got soccer. The Champions League round of 8 has begun. And it was two sensational matchups today. We had Arsenal at home against Bayern Munich, and Arsenal got on the board early, got up 1-0 in the 12th minute, and then in the 18th minute, just shortly after, Munich tied the game. 32nd minute, Munich took the lead to go up 2-1 at the half, and then in the 76th minute, Arsenal scored a goal to tie the game, which would end up being the final goal of the game. Ends in a 2-2 draw, which means they will play in Munich next time they meet up, which I believe will be next week.
So Harry Kane with a penalty score.
Yeah.
Famously missed the penalty kick for England in the World Cup. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. That does sound familiar.
That was a big deal. They're all like, oh, no, that's our best guy.
I do remember that.
And then the king, I think, died.
He killed himself after that, I believe they said. But this is a great matchup. These were probably the two favorites to win the entire tournament. They just happened to go head-to-head in the round of the last round of eight, the Elite Eight, we'll call it. Man City took no time today. They scored in the second minute of the game to go up 1-0. And then Real Madrid scored in the 12th and 14th minute. So a lot of – this game already had three goals 15 minutes into the game. 2-1. And then it slowed down for a little bit. It was 2-1 Real Madrid at the half. And then Man City scored in the 66th minute. But Phil Foden – I know we all talk about Haaland, but Phil Foden is a hell of a young player. A very, very good young guy on Manchester City. He ties the game up 5 minutes later. Some guy I've never heard of. Josko Gvardiol.
Is Foden British?
Defender. Foden is British, yes. And this Josko Gvardiol guy is Croatian, a defender that I've, again, never heard of, gave them the lead. And then Valverde, who I believe is another, no, he's a midfielder from Uruguay, tied it up in the 79th minute. So that was the score 3-3. So they will be in Manchester next time they face off. Probably will get the job done to advance. So that'll be good. And then tomorrow, well, I guess when you're listening, April 10th, two more matchups. You've got Atletico Madrid at home against Dortmund and then PSG at home against Barcelona. So I believe, I think, you know, Madrid and Dortmund should be a good game. I think I could see Madrid winning. I could also see that being a draw. I think PSG should be able to beat Barcelona. That's just not quite the same Barcelona team as years past, obviously. But should be a pretty good game nonetheless. So, yeah, we'll let you guys obviously update you again next week about how that tournament shakes up. But I think, do you have anything else to speak about with sports, or is that going to wrap us up on this episode?
No, good episode. We covered like 9 different sports. So.
We did. We did cover a lot of sports. I feel like every week we say like, oh, this is good. You know, sports is dying down. And then here we are covering like 9 sports. But, you know, that's what we do. But I promise you at one point it will die down where there's going to be pretty much only 2 or 3 sports to talk about for a couple months probably. But yeah, thank you. This was episode 371 of the Tony's Take podcast. And I'm Tony, and with me we had Off-Road Andy.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks for listening. And please like, subscribe, tell a friend, and be sure to check out our entertainment episode right after this. Thank you.